Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the game. Welcome to the show. Hope you're having a good day out there, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us on this Wednesday edition of Playmakers. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by our great friend, Michael Comer. Michael, good to have you with us.
Always good to be back.
We appreciate the company, man. We appreciate all of you joining us. Best listeners in radio, call up with your best sports takes, feelings, grumblings, ramblings. We want them right here. There ain't nobody that does sports like we do here at WFHR. Give us a call, 715-424-2600. If you're listening on the Civic Media app, thank you for downloading the app. You can go ahead and touch just a couple of buttons, just buttons on there, and boom, you're right here with us. Also, you can text us. Feel free to do that, or message us on our Facebook pages. However you need to reach out to us with those sports feelings, we want you to be able to get them out. It's a safe place. You can share all those crazy takes with us.
As safe as it can be within reason.
Certainly. I'm the one that went on the air with the hot take the other day, Michael, of there is no NFL owner with good hair. None. Nobody's talking about that. Nobody. We cover that angle. Please shut me up. 715-424-2600, everybody. Michael and I are going to get into, of course, high school football. We'll be talking about a review of the weekend that we had and the one coming up. Certainly a jug that we're going to be talking about as well. And as far as the old jug, Old River jug, Michael, one of the things I want to get into is the history of it. And I also want to talk about something else with you, the audience. And this is a two-parter, everybody. We're going to talk about this on Friday as well as we gear up for some great high school football this weekend. I want to talk about your favorite rivalry trophies in all of sports. I specifically am looking at college football, but there's certainly a lot of other sports and a lot of other maybe rivalry trophies that might be out there that I'm not thinking of, so I want to make sure to cover the bases. Anything you're thinking about there. Our stat of the show is a really interesting one I don't think a lot of people know, so we're going to have some fun with that as well. We'll hit on high school sports in a little bit. Looking forward to diving into that with you, Michael, and appreciate you being here again, man. Also want to get into tailgates. What is the most expensive tailgates in NFL? In football. Yeah, NFL football. Had to double check because I didn't want to pre-read this article. I wanted to be, with you in just getting this information at the same time. We get the real reactions. The problem is I didn't read enough of the article to know if it was college or NFL.
Right.
It is NFL. It is NFL. That's what I thought it was. Get into that a little bit, too. But, Michael, right out the gate, just focusing on college football, NFL right now, what are your takeaways from the wonderful kind of like opening week we had with NFL football and certainly the continuing of a great college football season already?
You can take my takes for whatever they're worth,
I
mean, you're just
mine too, man.
I did go 3-0 in my fantasy football leagues this past week. So, I mean, I might have, blind squirrel found a nut.
I am 0-1.
Oh, boy. start with the NFL, yeah. I guess. Boy, did those Chiefs look good, and so did Detroit. The Rams, man, that stinks that they lost Nacua. He's not going to be playing when Green Bay plays him.
Yeah.
I only caught a quarter and a half of the Packer Philly game. I was impressed with Green Bay with how they played. I was impressed with how Philly played. I thought they both looked good. I thought the defense. Okay, when you're playing against Saquon Barkley, you're going to give up yards. It doesn't matter. You're going to. You get three picks off of. Jalen Hurts, Drew Blank on Hurts, and that hurt.
Nice.
But
saving the boot.
Yeah, that's right. But, I mean, you lose, or you take the ball away from three stinking times, and then I think you recovered a fumble, too. Green Bay's defense is going to be ball hawking, and they're going to have to if Jordan Love is out for a while. Now, the good thing is, I can say with X, I know that's probably another topic you want to talk about, Green Bay's schedule is very friendly this early part of the season, so you can navigate this if he's out 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever it is. Looking at other games, boy, the Niners look good.
it's weird to see some of the, it shouldn't surprise us, but sometimes it does when you're seeing these good teams that you counted on being good, and yes, they're good. It sounds like the most normal thing that should be, but it doesn't happen all the time in the NFL. And to see, especially with the San Francisco, where you've had all the drama leading up to this, there are certain guys that the ink was still dry on the contract before the game even started, and they're out there. You're playing without your best offensive player, arguably.
Yep.
And you just and you're going up against what most people will tell you is a good defense.
Yes.
And you know, I think that there are very few times where I agree with a lot of the talking heads or anything like that. But one of the things that I think we can all take from the opening week is that it's the opening week.
Right.
You're not going to get the best of anybody. You're oftentimes going to get it's not surprising to see the backup Wilson. Was it Wilson or the running back that blew up on Monday?
I believe it was Wilson.
Not surprising. Not only because of the Shanahan offense and what that is historically, not just that Shanahan, but other Shanahans have done with a running back and being able to take, you know, make him into a diamond and all that. Not only those things, but he had preseason football in him.
Yes.
He played preseason football.
Yep.
His body was conditioned for this. His body was ready to take hits. His body was ready to go in the goal line and go right in. It is going to be very similar to what we've seen with the NBA. And the dissociation where the NBA had more goodwill than any sports league in the world, especially during the pandemic. And they've almost just about blown all of it by not only the way the players will sit, not only that.
Load management,
yes.
Which I do believe is living up to the first part of that word or phrase, load.
Yeah, it really is. Because we haven't seen, there is no evidence to show that it works. If it worked, I actually wouldn't have too much of a problem with it if you told the fans, hey, Kawhi ain't playing tonight. $5 tickets. You know,
well, like, that's,
you know, make it actually reasonable. Work with the fans, all of these things. But there's things that they'll never do, of course, because of the almighty dollar.
No.
As you know, they always
like
say.
Playing in Brazil and
yes,
France and Germany and wherever.
When it's cool to see these teams, I think, especially for me, as somebody that always looks at our division, I'm excited about Detroit. I'm not excited about playing them twice a year, but I'm excited about what they can do in the division. And just to see Detroit doing well, it's going to take a couple years of this for me to be like, Detroit, those darn Lions.
I don't know.
I can't feel that way yet about it. I just can't. I get really worked up about these teams. I still am living. I'm here with you, Michael. I'm engaged. I'm doing my job. I'm focused. But my soul, my heart is still going over, just watching over and over again the blocked punt that Notre Dame, that NIU had on Notre Dame.
Yep, that's where
I really am. That's what I'm still doing. So, I love rivalries. I love some of these things. But as far as like Detroit, I've never been able to work myself up against like really having a hatred for Detroit or even its players or anything.
I mean, I can say, well, I mean, Dominican Sue, we can talk about that one though. But I, you know, walking around Lambeau Field the last few years playing the old Detroit Lions, and I got a more colorful name for them too. But not breaking any FCC rules, I'd be okay with it. But I'll hold that onto that one. But I miss
save
the days
it for
of walking.
Rating season. The rating season.
Yeah. You know, I'll tell you what though, I do miss being at Lambeau for the aforementioned tailgates and. They're not the lowly Lions anymore that, you know, hey, you know, we're just here because we can. No, we're past those days.
Yeah.
And, you know, looking and back to your comment about load management and preseason ball, when Pacheco went out for a couple plays against when the Kansas City Swifts took on the Baltimore Ravens, Steele came in, and boy, did he look really good. And I thought about picking him up in Fantasy League, in a couple of them, because he's got tremendous upside as a great flex. So, you know, that's as much fantasy theory as I'll really give, because I don't know what I'm talking about. But you know, Kansas City, I thought they looked really good. I'm looking at this game, and Kansas City, they look good. Baltimore, they look good, too. But I think Kansas City's going to do what Green Bay did in 2011 and play really well really early. And they're still going to be good at the end, but I don't know if they're going to be peaking when they want to.
You set me up perfectly because I wanted to get into one of the important things I think that we maybe don't think about too much until we're actually in the middle of the season, in the heart of actual NFL football being played. Not preseason, right now.
Right.
Games are being played. We're in the middle of this interesting kind of like time where we just sit back and wait for our teams to prepare and get ready to play again. There's nothing like it in sports where you're just waiting for a week to play for the next game and building to that. And It's everybody knows what's coming, and yet nobody knows what's coming. It's such an interesting part of sports and the way that this game is played. With that being said, the NFL season is quarters, just like a game. And this first month of the season, you just got to survive it if you're Green Bay. Yeah. You just got to go ahead and keep on playing well. You can go, we're not winless, certainly, but you can go with a negative record into the second quarter of the season and survive it. We've seen teams win Super Bowls this way, to what you're saying about Kansas City and some of these things. And also, to be fair, too, I think, Jordan Love, he hurt his leg. He didn't hurt his arm. His arm's fine. His arm's actually resting. He's going to come into this in a couple of weeks with a very fresh arm, especially because he didn't play preseason football like he probably should have.
Well, there's...
And like a lot of other players, including on my team. That's not a shot at him or the Packers. That's a shot at all of these teams and all of these people doing it. I think the only person I ever saw really pull this off was LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
That's the only guy I've ever seen in my lifetime of watching football who took preseason games off or took the whole preseason off, came in game one, and was ready to go.
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah. Both of these guys, anomalies. Both of these guys, like, just, anomalies and Greek gods. Very different, very not your average player.
One thing I was going to touch on with what you're talking about, just came across my phone. Now, anyone with... in my opinion, so I'm just speaking on that. Anyone with half a brain knows that Love's more than likely not playing this week. That just came through on my phone that LaFleur's leaving it open yet.
I do like the gamesmanship of that, if anything. Even if it's not just that. I mean,
let's face it. He is not going to play. He shouldn't play, in my opinion.
Yes.
But if he does, I'll guarantee you when I'm sitting up in row 53, section 107, seat 31, I can guarantee you that place is going to be deafening.
Will you be at the game this Sunday?
Oh, yeah, that's where I'm
sitting. Right on, man. Oh, yeah. Oh, that is awesome. Yeah. Oh, that is awesome.
If you had the show, I'd call in. I'd probably get kicked out for doing so. No live broadcasts without approval.
Oh, I'm envious. That's really cool. That's going to be a lot of fun. And I think that you, along with everybody else in that stadium, is going to get a chance to see Malik Willis in real time and see what you got. You've got Sean Clifford sitting there who I think can walk into that job. And I'm not saying he's going to be an all-pro, but he knows the offense.
Yes.
You know what you got with him, and I think you got a guy that is going to try not to lose you the game.
Right.
Where with a good defense and a nice set of receivers that can make almost anybody look good, he should be okay. See what you got with Malik Willis in real time against a team that is not no NFL team should be taken lightly.
No, never. Never,
but I don't know. I don't know that this is a game that I was circling on the calendar.
It was
even with
be,
Love in it.
It was going to be interesting with Richardson and Taylor.
Yeah,
I mean they can put up a lot of yards and a lot of points in a
big
hurry.
Right on.
Another one that I just thought of, and it just happened this fall, that played a lot of preseason and didn't light it up. Granted, it's first game. I watched a lot of those Bears preseason games, and Williams tore it up in the preseason. That offense, the Bears won in spite of their offense in that game against Tennessee.
Yeah.
Tennessee didn't do anything to help themselves either when they had a 17-point lead and they blew it. It was almost like watching Atlanta in the Super Bowl again.
I sent Will Levis a thank you card. I thanked him for that win.
Some of those throws, what are you – I mean, I'm not a quarterback. I'm not a football player. What are you doing?
You don't get this position. You don't get to be the number one pick, and you don't get to win a Heisman Trophy. You don't get to be in this position or any of these things without pressure and without being every eyeball on you and waiting for this. This is what there are more people waiting for him to fail than succeed. And as soon as I saw that bottom stat line, I knew every little bit of this was coming. And more importantly, he knew this was coming.
Oh, about the Tennessee quarterback, not Williams.
Williams.
Talking Williams. Okay.
And I will say, look at his stat line compared to Joe Burrow's. Compared to other players that didn't play preseason football,
this week.
compared to Peyton Manning's in his first game, these things we have no idea, including me, have no idea how him or any of these other guys are going to be and how they're going to play, and not just them, Anthony Richardson, Jordan Love, all of these guys that have not played almost, they haven't even played two full seasons, some of these guys, and I don't mean just in professional football. I mean in Anthony Richardson's case, I don't know how much he's even played like two full seasons of football. We have no idea. There is so much money invested in these players that whether we want to or not, whether they should be sitting or not, which I think is a wonderful discussion to have anytime anybody wants to have it.
Right.
They're going to play. And for better or worse, we're going to see what they're like and they're going to learn in real time, just like I'm talking about with Malik Willis. It's kind of if you can take a step back as a fan, it's kind of wild to think of and watch happen. There's so much invested in this. There's so many things that they over-prepare for. Every football coach in America, in any level, is going insane over playbooks and how to beat the other team. And we get to game day and like, yeah, I think we're going to go with our third-string quarterback. That's the best we got. How did we get to this point? How did we get to this point where this is the best we got? We did all of the right things. We got all the right players. We have one guy go down, and now we're just like, hey, you over there, how's your arm? Yeah? Not bad. Well, all right. Hey, can we get security up there to row 34? This guy looks all right. He looks like he might be the real deal.
That's kind of like when Jay Cutler went out in the NFC title game against Green Bay. He goes out, then you got, what, Chad Henne or whoever it was, and then Caleb Haney, and he almost brought him back.
Yeah, yeah. Chicago is one of the first places that birthed this, but the Giants and in New York and a lot of other places, the backup quarterback is always the most popular person in the stadium, if not in the state.
Right.
To your point about Matt LaFleur announcing that Jordan Love is questionable. I love the announcement. I love how ESPN cannot wait for breaking news. It is not breaking news. We need a sounder for minor news. But not breaking news. It's important if you want to know it, but in that minor news. Minor news.
No, you steal it from the Price is Right. Bum, 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 bum.
Yes. I like that a lot. As we're getting ready to go to our first time out, Michael, I want to talk a little high school football with you. Let's go ahead and preview or go over this weekend. What stood out to you over the weekend games and certainly the game you took in? Nice job, by the way, on the call.
Oh, thank you.
It was a great game. Great game.
Yeah, I guess the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to give a big shout out to our friends just south of here. Nakusa, 3-0, first time since 2021.
Yeah. Go Papermakers.
And then, they controlled it. It was a close game early, but they pulled away late. I don't think they're going to be flashy, but they're going to be efficient, and they are hard-nosed on defense. Now, they're going to be tested this week with Berlin. Well, we could talk about that another time, or a little bit later. Port Edwards, how about hanging 30 points in the first quarter and leading 50?
Yeah.
Right? He did the old Barry Switzer, hang half 100 by halftime, and they won 56-6.
Yeah.
Rapids and Assumption, I'll go with Assumption first, the game that I saw, As Randy said, through 9 minutes, with 9 minutes left, 20-20 ball game, but there was that fumble on that drive when Assumption had a chance to take a lead and put all the pressure on the Cardinals, and that fumble, score, and then just turned it over on downs and scored again. That was, goodnight, Irene, unfortunately, in Rapids. Wisconsin Rapids, they're down 14-0, had a pick six by Kyler Tritz, rumbled in 25 yards, missed the PAT, 14-6, but that was all she could muster. The offense has really been struggling to this point, and for Rapids, it's a lot like Assumption. It's going to be tough sledding up until the last couple weeks, and by then it's just kind of going through the motions, which I hope that both teams can straighten it out a little sooner.
Yes.
But being honest, I'm not going to pull any punches. I'm going to tell you what I think.
Mm-hmm.
It might be a tough sledding for the boys in red and white and blue and white, unfortunately.
Yeah, this is where loyalties are tested. This is certainly where your school loyalty is tested. Anybody in any school that you really root for, you actually aren't really tested, of course.
I mean, I'm not I'm not being critical of high school kids. I'm in my own mid-30s, I got better things to do with my time than be critical and mean to kids. Yeah, I'd never do that.
Yeah.
But just looking at the matchups, it could be tough sledding.
Yeah, but this show will never, ever go so far as to go to a level to treat a high school athlete anywhere other than a high school athlete. And somebody that we appreciate and appreciate their families and appreciate everybody that is involved in high school athletics. I do like to be able to dissect these games and give these kids the attention they deserve, but I appreciate that about what you said there. When it comes to this weekend's games, we are going to take some time with the Point and Rapids game, of course, but other games that are on the schedule, you've got Assumption at iScan. I just had to do that because Randy always does that. Port Edwards and Almond Bancroft. Shout out, Randy. Also, of course, good games going on when Nakusa, Berlin and Nakusa. That one is, as you're talking about, a home game for Nakusa. You've got them coming to town. and a chance to really show, make your mark, right. I think, if you're Nukusin. Like, hey, we're not just some fad here. This is we've got something going here.
And I had a conversation with someone just the other day when I was out on Sunday night watching football down at a local watering hole. Mm. Being honest, if Nukusin can beat Berlin, I do believe they have the inside track to winning the South Central Conference. Now, they still got to beat the Dells. They still got to beat Adams. They still got to beat Waupun and Ripon. But looking at that, Berlin, looking at their schedule, the little bit that I have, they score a lot of points.
Yeah.
But they allow a lot of points.
Yeah.
And Nukusa, they don't allow many points, but they're not scoring too terribly much either. So we'll see. I mean, this is the first really, really big test because I don't know. I mean, Westfield's decent, but I really don't know how good the first week team was, Poinette, and I'm not really too sure how good Mauston is. Yeah. I think they're both 0-3. I'd have to double check, but I mean, that's the big one that stands out to me. Now, another one. Mm. Port Edwards again, playing number 8 team in the state and 8 man with Alma Bancroft.
I thought they were 8, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Alma Bancroft, they just came off of a big win. Controversial happenings during that game. We can talk about it later if you want.
Yeah.
They beat Newman 18-6. And I mean, that's a big win. And those teams, Andy Lewis, Alma Bancroft coach, used to coach at Port Edwards when they started playing 8 player.
Great man, I didn't know
whatever.
That.
Yep.
Oh,
nice guy.
Wow.
Great guy. Yeah. And Max, Max just left. Max Ayers. I think he just left Port right when Andy was going to be playing or coaching. Huh. So I mean, they know each other. They're very only separated by a year or two. So I mean, that's going to be a fun one. That they're big rivalry in all these schools or with those two schools in every sport, baseball, basketball, football, you name it, big rivals. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see that one. Rapids in the Jug and Assumption going to the old T-Birds of iScan. You know, it's not an optometry clinic, but the iScan game, the iScan game might be a tough one. That's another top six team in the state, if I remember.
Yeah.
And Point's tough, but I mean the local teams are going to be tested. Let's just put it that way.
And one of the things that, especially if you are looking at this in big picture and everything, is these young kids are going to get some experience and be coming back next year that much better and that much stronger, that much more seasoned.
Yes.
Like any other thing that you do, the more reps you get at it, the better you're going to feel, the stronger you're going to be. It's also I can't speak for anybody else, but the records certainly matter to me. I like to win, but I'm too darn excited, and it's too early in the season for me to be anything other than excited for high school football. I'm just happy the games are being played, and I want I want everybody leaving the games healthy and stuff. Outside of that, I'm locked in. I'm yelling at my TV and stuff, or my radio, but I'm certainly not. I can't get too worked up over this.
No, and the one thing we could close on there with that is talk about young kids coming in reaping the benefits of playing when they're young. That's Nukusa. Their seniors, most of them, have been four-year starters with the way the program has grown and had to. It was kind of in a shambles for a little bit. And a credit to Mark Tuttle, who started turning it around. He's not the head coach anymore. Now it's Derek Baker, an Nukusa graduate, who he says, I want it back to what it was when I was in high school, and they made, I think, 3 straight level 3 appearances and should have been in level 4 1 year, but a really bad, but that's not the point. Because I was standing right there. I saw it. He's like, last year we were close. We don't want to be close. We want to succeed. And so far, 3-0.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't argue with that. And it's going to be fun to see how this goes throughout the rest of the season. We're just in the beginnings of it. So much fun.
Technically, we're a third of the way through. We're just about the halfway point.
I don't want to think about it that way. As soon as I was saying it, I was in my head thinking, actually, we're a third of the way. I don't want to think about it that way.
Shut up, James.
Just enjoy it. Just be in the moment and enjoy. When we come back, keep this conversation going, because we're going to talk about the Little River Jug. We're going to talk about the rivalry game between Point and Rapids, the history of it, talk about some great trophies, some rivalry trophies in college football history, and we got a stat of the show coming up for you. It's Michael and James taking you through an episode of Playmakers Wednesday edition, brought to you proudly by our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Michael and James hanging out with you. Hope you're having a good Wednesday afternoon, everybody. Phone lines are wide open. Give us a call, 715-424-2600. What are some of your favorite rivalry trophies in college football or just in sports in general? And are you excited about this weekend's game between Point and Rapids? You've got Stevens Point Panthers taking on your Wisconsin Rapids Red Raiders, 7 o'clock this Friday. Looking forward to this game, Michael.
Yeah, always throw the records out the window. There's been a few years where Rapids, on paper, absolutely no chance to win. Well, then they come out and they just polish off the Panthers. But then there's been other times Point's not supposed to be anywhere close, and Point comes through and they beat up Rapids. So, I mean, quite honestly, it could go either way. Point's obviously the favor on paper, but I still can't rule out the Red Raiders, because that jug means a lot to a lot of people. I told the story about my grandma. Mm-hmm. That jug means a lot to those kids, those coaches, me even. I mean, I like Rapids holding it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm as neutral as I can with it, but yeah, that'd be pretty cool to hold that jug.
I think that's an interesting conversation to have with these games. I've talked about it with Randy on air and off air about calling assumption games and how I feel like he does such a great job of, I can't tell if I didn't know him what school he was rooting for or anything, while at the same time, there's if you know him and if you're listening, I think that you could hear some things here and there without it being biased. I think you do a very, very good job of that as well.
Well, thank you.
I'm always impressed with that, because every announcer in history has a team. You know, Vince Scully had a team he rooted for. You just don't know. And they do such a great job. It's an old school way of doing it. Nowadays, everybody wears that stuff on their sleeve. You know who your favorite talkers in sports, chances are you know what the team they root for is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, one of the things, even though I'm not a real big fan of Joe Buck, he makes fun of the fact, on what it was, Twitter or whatever it's called, I hate your team.
He does own that stuff, and he is very self-deprecating for what it's worth. I do enjoy that part of him. Let's take a call. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Good afternoon, fellas.
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, I got a few I looked up that they sound kind of funny. Some rivalry trophies.
All right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Liam, honest man.
One is the Steel Tire Trophy between Akron and Youngstown.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I've heard of that one.
SMU and TCU play for the Iron Skillet.
Yes.
Now that's cool.
That is. Especially if you could use the skillet.
I hope you can.
Yeah, you got to be able to.
Like a title belt?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, my favorite one, though, is Nichols versus Texas State. They have a battle for the paddle.
Oh, that sounds like some kind of contest drinking between fraternities, man.
I'm not even sure we could talk about that on the air.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure.
Yeah, right? Hey, I got a question for you guys, though. Has Rapids ever played Assumption in football, like over the years at any point?
No, and I had a conversation with Assumption athletic director, and it was kind of, I said it kind of as a joke, but it really happened. It was a couple of years ago when Rapids was like 1-8 in the season, and Assumption was 0-9 or 1-8 as well. And after the ninth game, they were done. Understandably, rough years. And the coaching staffs are all friends. They know each other at that time. And I said, you know what? Let's just schedule a 10th game, the Battle for Rapids. All proceeds go to like the Boys and Girls Club, or the humane, something good, you know, and get the teams and, you know, bragging rights for the city. And they thought I was serious, because at that time there was about 1,800 kids at Lincoln High School total, and there's about 200 at Assumption at that time. And the numbers on the rosters, it wasn't feasible, it wasn't safe. I mean, not that there wasn't talented kids on both sides, but the depth issue never would have happened. That, unfortunately, that wouldn't happen. But no, to the best of my knowledge, Rapids has played against Assumption, like girls soccer they have. Mm-hmm. I would like to have seen them play in softball and girls basketball and stuff like that, where I think it would be comparable games. But football, no, that's just not going. That's not going to happen.
Be interesting, that's for sure. And a great question, man.
Thanks for the info, guys. You have a good one.
You too. Have a good one. Looking forward to talking soon. The Old River Jug, given each year to the winner of the Wisconsin Rapids Stevens Point Area Senior High School Rivalry Game, holds a special place to many out there, as Michael has touched on and shared his own knowledge of. And born on October 28th in 1947, the Jug became synonymous with one of the state's oldest prep football rivalries. It's one of the oldest trophies given out in high school athletics.
Yes, it is.
It's really impressive and very cool, and it happens right here in our neck of the woods.
There is a thing. I'd have to look it up, and I don't have a computer to do it, because it'd be a lot easier doing it that way. There is another River Jug that gets fought for between Baraboo and Reedsburg. I want to say that, and that's actually the oldest rivalry in the state. And the meetings between Wisconsin Rapids and Point, believe it or not, there is no trophy for this game, which I would love there to be one.
Yeah,
but Rapids and Marshfield have played each other more. The same county, 35 miles apart. Never ever have they had a trophy.
Weird.
We got to talk to Sheriff Becker on that.
Let's get this going. Yeah,
it's time for a change.
It really is. Yes, yes. At a meeting attended by football booster club officials for both schools, Roy Menzel, a public relations specialist in Stevens Point, who was a driving force behind the establishment of the Jug, presented the symbolic bottle to P.J. Jacobs High School, now known as Spash, Coach John Roberts, and Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln coach Phil Manders prior to the year's game. And that is kind of how the ball got rolling with this.
Yeah,
it was, the Jug got rolling.
Right, and it was really to kind of calm tensions, because, I mean, Rapids and Point have a rivalry, and there's times they still really do not like each other. But back in those days, there, from what I've understood, the lore, there were some brawls. I mean, there was, not in the games by any means, thankfully, but there was, you know, showing up in the old jalopy with your buddies and pounding on the guys from Point and chasing them out of town, or vice versa. I've understood that happened.
Yeah. To Michael's point from the Stevens Point Journal, according to an account in October 29th, 1947 edition of the Stevens Point Journal, the Old River Jug was primarily created in order to take firm steps towards improving a good sportsmanship in the relations between the traditional rivals, which at the time could border on nasty. The rivalry and the River Jug is a big deal. Kids understand it. Rapids football coach Tony Biola is quoted as saying.
Yeah.
And this is your kind of a typical rivalry game on many levels. I'm not saying that any of these really stand out differently unless you went to the schools, of course. But it's still very fun and cool to think of that so much history is played in this game, that takes place here. Not, of course, getting a chance to play in this game myself, but certainly watching it when I went to school at Lincoln and taking in everyone that I could and being there and how important that was. Even when I didn't have friends on the team, I was there. It was an important game. And even if you didn't pay, if to your point earlier, man, when there's been seasons we have all experienced of our teams where they're not good, but this game matters. And even if you go 0-0 and whatever, you got to win this game. It brings out something different in these players too when it comes to, there's a reason some phrases are stuck in sports, and the old throwing out the record books is one that actually adds up. There are certain times where it actually does matter, and it's an actual almost fact that you can throw the record books out. Playoffs are a good example of this, and rivalry games are a good example of these things.
Yeah. I mean, how many times in recent history should Wisconsin have won the old X? And lately Minnesota's had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Wood chip, otherwise, I don't know. But Minnesota's kind of given the business to Wisconsin a little bit lately. So there's always to be, even if you haven't won a game and you've let 50 points up in every half, you still are getting up for this game that we don't like these guys. We're going to go out and try to beat the tar out of them.
Yeah. Born again, the Old River Jug, on October 29th, 1947. That is important when it comes to our stat show. The Bruce Mahoney Trophy. That is what we're going to talk about, and we're going back to 1947. That is our stat. It is a trophy that was established in 1947 to commemorate a high school football rivalry that dates back to 1893. This is the oldest trophy in high school sports rivalry history, in all of it. The rivalry began with a rugby game between West Aurora High School and East Aurora High School in Aurora, Illinois, on March 17th in 1893. The trophy is named after a graduate from each school who died in World War II. They are still playing for this today, the Bruce Mahoney Trophy. That is the oldest rivalry trophy in all of football. As far as I can tell, in all of football. Now, it definitely is in all of high school football.
Right, right. Now, that's pretty cool. You know, it sounds like it's the it's in a good place that it was formed.
Yeah, it's just kind of a cool thing. There's, again, only rhyme and reason to this stuff, really, if you went to the school or if you're rooting for them. But right. I'm a sucker for history. And, man, you can put in, you add on not only American history, but sports history. Oh, I'm freaking out. I love all this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
As far as cool trophies that are played and fought for and everything, I think that there's a number of them out there. I used to be a big fan of the Northwestern and Illinois game. And they used to play for a peace pipe back in the day.
All right.
For up until, I think, the early aughts, they still played for it. May have been the late mid-90s. They took it away. You know, a lot of that stuff came in. But
yeah.
I always liked that one. I used to, like on college football on the PlayStation, I used to like playing Ohio State for the Illy Buck. I don't like it in real life.
No.
I don't like it in real life.
Have you guys haven't held it since 08 when Illinois went to the Rose Bowl?
Oh, one of my favorite games of all time, the Juice Williams game.
Yep.
Oh, man, I'm at the bar watching that one. And I didn't give Illinois nearly a chance at all. Beating Ohio State in the buck in the horseshoe, it's actually interesting that this is coming up, that I brought it up, of course, because of the NIU-Notre Dame game.
Yep.
I have a handful of games. There is not many games for Illinois football history that you're going to remember. There's certainly no championship games. It's all rivalry games or things like that happened this weekend. And that's another one of them where I'll never forget that game.
Yeah, I even remember where I was. I don't know why. I was in Appleton. I stopped at the now defunct Hooters restaurant there. It was on all the on the channels. I mean, I was in college when that happened, and I remember watching that, and the place just kind of went nuts when Illinois pulled that off.
Looking at trophies, one of the ones I wanted to bring up that I don't think a lot of people know about, you brought up Paul Bunyan's axe. I think that's one of my favorite ones that they play for.
Oaken Bucket.
Good one. There's a handful that are just fun. They're just interesting.
The boot between Arkansas and LSU. That golden hat between Oklahoma, Texas.
I like that one. I like ones that you can use. I like ones that you can do things with.
Yes.
Iowa State just played Cy-Hawk. For one this week. That was a good one. And how about the troll? Anybody ever heard of the troll? Concordia, Moorhead in Minnesota, and St. Cloud, Minnesota play for this one. St. Olaf play for this one. They play for the troll. These teams. This is actually taking us out of the FBS ranks and goes into Division III, and it's kind of unique that they fight for a troll. The uniqueness comes because the thing is, well, not only ugly, but the troll has been also around for a long time. It's been awarded since 1974, and the troll was actually made in Norway. Norse mythology, of course, big on trolls.
Yeah,
it's kind of fun. They're fighting for a troll here. I don't think that's too far-fetched. We can, you know, go up a little bit, northerner and everything, and you've got what's his name? The big guy, the big green guy. I can't think of it now.
Hodag?
The Hodag. I mean, come on.
I mean, Antigo and Rhinelander play for the Bell.
Yeah.
I mean, there's that one.
I like that, too. Speaking of bells, the Victory Bell, UCLA, USC.
Yeah.
One of the few times I saw the fan bases for both when I was living in California actually showing up, that game, they showed up for. People that I didn't even know knew what football was were showing up in jerseys and telling me things that I didn't even know about the game and everything. That one, I give California fans some heat here and there. That one, they showed up for.
Yeah, I mean, and then there's other ones. I mean, you have the Apple Cup, Washington State.
Game.
You have the
usually
egg,
always a good
you
game.
You have the Egg Bowl, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, the Iron Bowl, Auburn, Alabama. I forget what some of the what
the Iron Bowl is always good.
Yes, yeah, so like that 108 yard return for a touchdown to win the game the other year for Auburn. But then there's other ones that believe it or not, they're like Florida and Florida State.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
There's not a trophy. There's just a rivalry.
Yeah, yeah. Those are interesting, too.
Right, or Miami and Florida. And what's weird, I don't know much of the ACC's history, but you got North Carolina and I believe South Carolina. They used to play.
Oh, yeah.
But Clemson and South Carolina, there's one.
That's a good one.
What's that one? I don't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to them creating trophies. I don't know what the youngest trophy is out there, but I'm not against that stuff. I'm a sucker for these things, and I think a lot of fans are. A lot of fan bases are.
Freedom Trophy. I think that's one of the most recent ones. The Freedom Trophy between Wisconsin and Nebraska.
Yeah, yeah. That's got to be one of the youngest ones.
Because Wisconsin has near up there the most trophy games. You got the ones with Rodent Soda, the and then you got the Heartland Trophy with Iowa, the Freedom Trophy with Nebraska. There's one other one I'm drawing a blank. But I know Michigan, they've got the one with the little jug with Minnesota, mm-hmm. and then they've got Paul Bunyan Trophy with Michigan State.
Yeah, that's an interesting one too. There's the Heartland Trophy with Iowa and Wisconsin. Don't want to forget about that one. There is the Shillelagh between Notre Dame and Purdue. As far as looking at Big Ten rivalries, I do kind of like that they fight for a Shillelagh.
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty good. The Textile Bowl between Clemson and North Carolina. Just talking about a little bit of where you were in that region. Mm-hmm. That's a pretty good one. And there's all kinds of good ones. Which ones do you guys like? Let us know. 715-424-2600, 424-2600. The old wagon wheel with BYU and Utah State. I don't know why, but I always like that one.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool.
It's a good one. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about tailgating. The NFL teams with the cheapest and most expensive tailgates. I wanted to get into that a little bit with you, Michael, and certainly talk a little bit more football. We have got all kinds of things to talk about, everybody. The Brewers have been interesting the last couple of games. Does everybody know where Jackson Churio is? Because he fell into the net, and I didn't see where he went after that. No, he's okay. I enjoy watching great outfielding, and that kid along with Frelick out there is a lot of fun to watch. Brewers fans will remember the name Lorenzo Cain. One of my favorite outfielders of all time, and it feels like he was playing like 10 years ago, but it wasn't that long ago. But guys like him, where there was always a good line about, you know, water covers this much of the earth, Lorenzo Cain covers the rest.
I still go back to the days of Jimmy E.
Oh,
Jim Edmonds.
Yeah.
He's probably one of the best center fielders I've ever seen, no matter where he played, whether it was Milwaukee, St. Louis, Cincinnati, it doesn't matter.
Edmonds stands out in part because when I think of great outfielders, I think of some of these guys as, you know, some of them like Griffey that was just built for this. Guys like that. The great arms of some of these guys, like a Clemente or some of them. And Jim Edmonds looked like he could have been a bowler or could have been a golfer or so many other things. And yet you watch him out there and the abandonment for his body that he had.
Now that's how you play the game, man.
Oh, you could not love him. There's certain guys that it doesn't matter what team they play for. Ozzie Smith, as far as we're sticking with this team, that I don't care who you are, it's hard not to like him. It's hard not to root for him. And guys like that, especially, man, Edmonds. Now I'm going to go back and watch a highlight reel of Edmonds when we're done here today. We'll be back after our second timeout. Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Welcome back, everybody. Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. Michael and James here with you. We're going to take you right to the top of the hour. Hope you're having a great Wednesday afternoon out there. Phone lines are wide open, 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. We're looking forward to hanging out and talking with you. We will talk a little bit more about it on Friday's show. We will be here for another episode of Playmakers on Friday. Be sure to join us 5 to 6. Alabama coming to Tim Madison to take on the Badgers. Want to talk a little bit about that game on Friday. But, Michael, I know you won't be able to be with us. Do you have any thoughts on this game? Because I feel like this is an opportunity where you can lose a game and still gain respect if you can show up, if you can hang.
Well, one thing's for sure, I'm actually not eating on Friday, so I could stay hungry for the Crimson Tide. But
I've been sitting on that one.
Yeah, I have. That's probably so it was spoiled.
It was good.
But that you hit that one right on the head. Does anyone give Wisconsin a chance? No, but they're playing the game, so they have a chance. Mm-hmm. Do I think it's going to be pretty? No, but if they can give them trouble, if they can give them fits, and this is where I kind of liked old Wisconsin style.
Yeah,
be efficient, ground and pound. You eat up the clock, force them to make mistakes, and score. That's where I think Wisconsin could be. Playing, I mean, they're obviously already playing with house money, but have a chance to cash in on the house money. That being said, if they play close through three quarters, make it come down to the wire. Wisconsin, I think a lot of people can get off the back of Wisconsin then.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they lose embarrassingly. Well, you know, that's kind of thought that was going to happen. And now you better get right for the Big Ten games because they got to go out to L.A. in another couple of weeks, and that's not going to be easy.
The games that could have like gotten the seat kind of hot for Coach Fickell are already done and played. Had he lost either of those early games, then maybe we'll talk. There is nothing that happens the rest of the season, in my opinion, that's going to get his seat hot right now this year.
There's one thing that will.
Yeah.
That bowl appearance streak ends.
Ooh,
that
yeah.
will.
No, good point. Solid, solid point. I went too extreme on that because anything could happen in life. We've all seen that happen.
Yep.
But I do think that you do get an opportunity to see how you can hang with these teams. I don't think Alabama or USC are undefeatable. They are not invincible. And you can get some respect out of these teams as well as the national media and all that as well. And really gain that for your club. That's something you can build on as a club and certainly recruiting wise when you're talking about one of the most important things in college sports and recruiting.
Yep.
So it'll be fun. It'll be interesting to see. Looking forward to it. But I did want to talk a little tailgating with you while we had you. Again, Michael going to be busy this Friday covering the game for us. Appreciate that. Before that, though, after that, though, you're going to be taking in some more football. You're going to be at the game Sunday. Game.
Yep. I get to practice waking up really early on Saturday morning with the bow hunting opener and go and do that. Take a nap. Watch football all day Saturday, and then take another nap, and then wake up and go to Green Bay.
Man, that is the life.
It paid better.
Absolutely. We're looking at the most expensive and cheapest tailgates that are out there right now as we head into week two of the NFL season. A new study found even just tailgating at a game can break the bank oftentimes, as a lot of people will tell you.
It can.
Some gambling sites looked at how much it costs to tailgate at each NFL stadium in 2024, and the average for four people is about $200. The price varies quite a bit depending on where you're at and how you take in how you tailgate. Everybody tailgates a little bit different, and so some people go down there. I've gone to plenty of tailgates with nothing on me except for maybe some plates or some hamburger buns or something like that or whatever or anything. I mean, we've gone down there with plenty and been able to have a good time.
I've been to more tailgate parties, almost as many tailgate parties as Jimmy Carter has peanuts, and I will say this much: I've been to games Packers have won, I've been to game Packers have lost. But I've never lost a tailgate party. My liver might have,
but I haven't.
And I'll tell you what, it is what you make it.
Yeah.
If you want to have a big extravagance where I tailgate at a Packer games, there's caterers coming in, and I can't even begin to think about what that cost. But it's usually corporate that pays for it because they're taking their employees in.
Yeah.
But the private one that we're part of, just go ahead and contribute a little bit and have at it.
Yeah. Let's take a call real quick. Good afternoon. You're in the game.
Never underestimate how many peanuts Jimmy Carter has. Thank you very much.
That's a good point. It's a fair point. I appreciate you, man. The San Francisco 49ers have the most expensive tailgate at $292. Parking alone accounts for $132 of that. The other $160 is spent on all kinds of other things. The rest of the top five most expensive are the Rams, Cowboys, Eagles, and Commanders. The Arizona Cardinals have the cheapest tailgate at $158, mainly because they have free parking or special tailgate parking spots for around $20.
That makes sense, because I know in Green Bay, I believe it's $40 for a spot in the parking lot. I believe that could have changed. I haven't checked into it.
The rest of the top cheapest tailgates are the Atlanta Falcons, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Carolina Panthers, and the Kansas City Chiefs, interestingly.
I've heard the Chiefs was pretty cheap.
Packers ranked 20th on this list out of the 32 NFL teams. So, not horrible, not great, but, that's what you'd expect.
And well, like their ticket prices, I'm sure there's tailgating is about the same. Just they want to be just right below the league average.
$192 is the average for what it will cost you to tailgate at Lambeau Field. But if you know some people, it ain't going to cost you that. It ain't going to cost you that. Which is one of the things that I love about Lambeau Field. Like, just going to Green Bay in general, that area. It's a lot of fun. And you're going to have a lot of fun this weekend, man. Not only with that game, but with the high school game. Again, we have high school football for you this Friday. 6:50, our pregame will kick off at 105.5 WIRI. Assumption I'm sorry. We have, of course, the Raiders taking on Point right here in Rapids. The battle for the old River Jug taking place this Friday. Looking forward to it. Michael, Randy, Seth are going to be covering that game for you. Know it's going to be a fun time. And looking forward to hearing you guys call the game this weekend.
Yeah, hopefully Rapids comes out and ready to play. I mean, they will be ready to play. Coach Biolo always does.
Yeah.
But hopefully things bounce their way for once this season, and they can take care of business.
Other games on the schedule this high school football weekend. You've got Assumption taking on iScan at 7 o'clock on Friday. Port Edwards, Elm, and Bancroft, that'll be also be at 7. And, of course, Nacoosa, as we mentioned earlier, Berlin coming to Nacoosa to take them on Friday at 7. So we'll have results by Friday night for that for you. It's going to be a pretty exciting, really good schedule, I think, of high school football this weekend.
Yeah, I think, like I said, they've got the rivalries, big rivalries with Almond, Bancroft, and Port, Rapids, Point, some good teams out there kind of make and break because you're getting that midpoint. You're going to be kind of seeing, hey, are they going to make it? Are they not going to make it? Are they going to be done in 5 weeks? Do they have a chance? This kind of starts separating the cream rises to the top and starts with some separation.
It's going to be exciting to see. Of course, we've got Badger football for you this weekend as the Badgers are hosting Alabama, number 4-ranked Alabama, coming to Madison. That game will be an earlier one. No over-the-back fence this weekend with that, with pregame and all of those things. We'll get more into detail on that on Friday's Playmakers. Stick around. Coach Fickell joining us in just a little bit with the Luke Fickell Show, as you can catch every Wednesday, 7 o'clock, right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. Good show, Michael.
Hey, thanks, man. Great to be here.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.